The epistle for Passion Sunday is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9. Brethren, Christ being come a high priest of the good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, neither by the blood of goats or of calves, but by his own blood, entered once into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and of oxen and the ashes of a heifer being sprinkled sanctify such as are defiled to the cleansing of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who by the Holy Ghost offered himself without spot to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And therefore he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of his death for the redemption of those transgressions which were under the former testament, they that are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 8. At that time, Jesus said to the multitudes of the Jews, "Which of you shall convince me of sin? If I say the truth to you, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth the words of God. Therefore you hear them not, because you are not of God." The Jews therefore answered and said to him, "Do not we say well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you have dishonored me. But I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Amen, amen, I say to you, if any man keep my word, he shall not see death forever." The Jews therefore said, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if any man keep my word, he shall not taste death forever. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom dost thou make thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father that glorifieth me, of whom you say that he is your God. And you have not known him, but I know him. And if I shall say that I know him not, I shall be like to you a liar. But I do know him, and do keep his word. Abraham your father rejoiced that he might see my day. He saw it and was glad." The Jews therefore said to him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was made, I am." They took up stones, therefore, to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Amen, amen, I say to you, if any man keep my word, he shall not see death forever. These words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. John Bosco lived in the 19th century. He did great work for poor young boys in Italy. Among the many graces that God gave him to help his boys were the extraordinary dreams he had. Thus, he did not have dreams like you and I, dreams that don't mean anything. Rather, God gave Don Bosco, as he was affectionately called, vivid and extraordinary dreams for the good of souls, especially the souls of the boys in his homes and schools. On one particular night, soon after he fell asleep, Don Bosco felt that there was a man standing by his bed. The saint soon recognized him as the man who often guided him through his dreams, especially those that were more momentous and terrifying. Don Bosco called him the man with the cap. And in the dream, this man said to him, "Get up and follow me." After a long time of trudging through a vast plain, Don Bosco and the man finally came to a road. It was beautiful, wide, and neatly paved. Both sides were lined with magnificent green hedges, fruit trees, and flowers of all kinds. Don Bosco said, "At first, it was level and comfortable, but after some time, it began sloping downward. Though it didn't seem steep, still the saint found himself moving swiftly downwards. And soon Don Bosco also saw that some of his boys were on that same path. And to his horror, he saw them suddenly fall to the ground and then be dragged by an unseen force toward a burning furnace. Don Bosco asked his guide, "What makes these boys fall?" The man with the cap answered, "Take a closer look." Don Bosco tells us, "Traps. Traps were everywhere, some close to the ground, others at eye level, but all well concealed." He continues, "Unaware of their danger, many boys got caught in these traps." And Don Bosco also noted that on the traps, there were words. The traps had words on them. He could see and make out the words pride, disobedience, envy, sixth commandment, theft, gluttony, sloth, anger, and many more. Don Bosco was afraid now and even confused, because these traps seemed so small, so flimsy and weak, and yet they were able to pull many, many boys down to the abyss. Knowing his thoughts, the guide told him, "Go near and you will see." The saint then described what he saw. "I picked up one of the traps and I tugged. There was a heavy rope connected to the trap. I pulled again, and I felt resistance and a tug back. As I pulled harder and harder, instead of drawing the rope closer to myself, I was being pulled down. When I stopped resisting," Don Bosco says, "I soon found myself at the mouth of a dreadful cave, where a large, hideous monster emerged. The beast was clutching a rope to which all the traps were connected. The saint said to himself, 'It won't do me to match my strength with his. I will certainly lose.' Don Bosco then dropped the rope, made the sign of the cross, said a short prayer, and then he was able to return to his guide on the road. The man with the cap looked at Don Bosco and said, 'Now you know who that was.' St. John Bosco quickly answered, 'I surely do. That was the devil himself.'" My dear faithful, many Catholic people may wonder why they often fall into sin. Among other reasons, the reason they do is because they do not avoid, nor do they shun, proximate and free occasions of mortal sin. They thus walk right into the devil's traps, the traps which he uses on them over and over. The Baltimore Catechism tells us to avoid sin and the occasions of sin because they are deadly to our souls. We sometimes, though, become desensitized to the words occasions of sin. We are frequently warned of them from the pulpit, but how many truly realize their gravity and the danger that they are in by these occasions? What do we mean, then, by the occasions of sin? The Catechism tells us that occasions of sin are all the persons, places, and things that may easily lead us into sin. And by sin, we especially mean mortal sin. The occasions of sin, then, are those things that will likely cause us to sin. If one were to see a beehive, perhaps, swarming with agitated bees, he most certainly would stay away from it. It would be dangerous to go anywhere near the beehive, for the closer one would get to the hive, the more likely it is he would get stung by the bees. But how much more dangerous it is, my dear faithful, to go near the occasions of sin. Thus, how we should avoid these dangerous occasions like we would a hive of angry bees. Now, it is according to Catholic moral teaching that occasions of sin can be either necessary or free. Necessary occasions of sin are those which one cannot avoid, for instance, on account of one's work or state in life. Whereas a free occasion is one which a person freely chooses to put himself in for no good reason. By this I mean, for example, a person who chooses to view television or movies that are suggestive or impure, or one who has access to the internet by a computer or some other device, and by it views impurity, or one who freely associates in friendship with persons who are hateful to the faith or Catholic morality, and thus present a real danger to us and to our souls. This is especially true for young Catholic people who have friendships with those who lead them into sin and away from their faith. A certain Catholic theologian said of the occasions of sin, "The greater the danger, the greater is the duty of avoiding the danger." Therefore, my dear faithful, we must do all that is in our power to avoid and shun all those free occasions of sin which can and will move us to sin. We must see that these are the traps laid by the devil, the hideous beast who holds the rope to pull us down to hell. Never forget, my dear faithful, if we die out of sanctifying grace, that is, if we die unrepentant in mortal sin, we will go to hell. But if we die in the state of grace, we will go to heaven. This is why our Lord said in today's Gospel, "Amen, amen, I say to you, if any man keep my word, he shall not see death forever." If we keep the commandments, if we avoid sin and the near occasions of sin, we shall not see death forever. That death is the death of the soul that has been condemned to hell for eternity. Remember that St. John Bosco saw words on the traps that caught the boys. They were the names of sins and the occasions of sin. Identify the traps that the devil lays for you, the ones that cause you to fall. Is it impure conversation, the television, movies, alcohol, the internet, envy, anger, impatience, stubbornness? What is it that the devil is using to attempt to drag you down to hell? With this understanding, resolve to take action against the occasions of sin. First, at all costs, avoid these unnecessary and free occasions of sin. Second, if they are necessary occasions which are unavoidable, arm yourself beforehand with a short prayer, such as, "My Jesus, mercy," or, "Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, protect me," and repeat this from time to time while the occasion is present. By avoiding these occasions, by frequenting the sacraments, confession, and Holy Communion, and by fervently praying to the Blessed Virgin Mary every day, but especially in time of temptation, you will fortify yourself against the deceits of the devil. You will protect yourself from his traps and his snares, and you will make great progress up the slope of sanctity and on the road to heaven. There you will enjoy perfect peace and perfect happiness and the grace and love of God for all eternity. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.